Thank you, brother. It is good to be here this evening to see each of you. We had a pretty good crowd this morning, and I thank you for coming. What I want to bring your way is, before I get into that, turn to Mark 13 and verse 4. In Mark 13, the Lord has attended service in a temple, and he is exiting with his disciples, and one of them looks around at the grandeur of the temple and calls his attention to the manner of construction, the stones, the way they fit together, and surely the immensity of that building and the buildings that were there. And the Lord looked at it, and he looked beyond it, and he said, "Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." And he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, and Peter, James, and John, and Andrew began to question him, it says, privately, wanting to know more about what he said. And as the Lord looked at that temple, in my mind's eye, he looked well past it, down to our time, possibly beyond, possibly to his coming, and all the things that would happen to man. Progression of time, I'm sure, unfolded before him, being the Son of God. And he perceived and knew that we would go through sorrows, and we would have nations at war, one with the other, and rumors of war. And he knew that this would continue until his coming. He was able to look beyond what was before him to what would be. So, what I want to talk about today, and I'll get there eventually, is the way and the law. In Psalms 119, verse 1, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord." And as I turn on the news, try to select a channel that presents it truthfully and sincerely, not telling me what to think, but presenting the facts, it's hard to find. It's not like it used to be. I don't want to know what they think about what happened. I want to know what is happening in the world. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. And I'm fighting with myself to get past the politics of the day to the point that I really don't care one way or the other. Because I don't see genuine choices to be made. But what I'm concerned about is not what lies before me physically, but what lies before me and you, us, as a body of Christ, spiritually before us. And the only way that we will get through this day that we're in and beyond, as Christ was able to look beyond and see his day and his time progressed, is if we are able to walk in that way undefiled and live by that law. Then and only then is our time important, if we learn to live that way. As we prepared for, as I prepared for pre-council meetings, we were blessed to hear a couple of sermons that were good. And I appreciated the sermon we heard this morning from Brother Harris about the importance of being the light in this world as we associate with others in our communities, in our cities, in our state, in our nation, and in the world itself. To be different in service to mankind, because we are different in Christ. And as I listened to Bob and Jay present their sermons, I took away three basic thoughts or phrases that they offered. One of them was, it's about God and His Word. And in Bob Hedrick's sermon, he talked about Abraham involved in God's Word, how it affected him physically, temporally, emotionally, how it affected him and his wife and his family, and the promise that lay before them in walking after God's Word, and how when they came to a difficulty in life, a choice, sometimes he made choices himself instead of relying upon God to provide the solution. I'm guilty of that. And if you look at your life realistically throughout your life, you're guilty of that. So I gained a great deal from Abraham in God's Word and in time in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Jay's sermon, he concluded or brought to a conclusion, making a statement, we can do hard things. And there's many hard things that lay before us from this time forward. I just got an email from the Philippines, and we've got a brand new mission. I'm not even sure where it's at. But the name of the mission is Kili Kili, and they baptized 32 today. The work there is growing, where the Lord plants His seed, and there is a genuine effort to allow that seed to grow, to nurture, and to bring forth fruit. It happens. We can do hard things. I received an email from the chairman of the priesthood in the Philippines about 2.5 weeks ago, just before I was asked to prepare this sermon. And he sent a notification about attending a get-together of pastors in Bayugan, which is way up north on the island of Mindanao. And it was hosted by the mayor of Bayugan by the name of Kirk Asis. And Brother DeGrino penned a thank you note to that mayor. And he says, thank you, Mayor Kirk Asis, in giving tribute, the Bayugan pastors as a partner of the local government in sustaining the morality of the Bayugan people. Thank you, Abba Father, for the life of these dedicated servants of God and their untiring effort to spread the gospel so that no one is lost and all may be saved. They associate in the Philippines with other churches. And I see nothing wrong with that, because they don't hide from what they believe. And they believe in the Bible, and they associate freely with those other churches. But they don't hide from the Book of Mormon, nor from the examples, the strength that they glean from that Book of Mormon. They draw from it to share with brothers that haven't accepted it, but they listen to them because they see a change in our brothers and sisters in the Philippines, members of this Church of Christ. 2 Peter 3:9 was the scripture he quoted. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And as long as those other churches seek to bring souls closer to Christ, no, they're not in the same beliefs that we are. They don't adhere to the same rules as we. But as long as they present truthfully the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm not going to advise against their association because they draw a strength from it. Would that City of Independence had a close association with all the churches here and sought to bring the morality of the people up by that association. But they don't. They seek to hide from it. The previous mayor we had was quick to post the multicolored LBG, whatever that complete title is, and fly it out the window of her city hall office. And she had been told not to. It's not the same pursuit towards right. And I'm not saying the Philippines is a beautiful place, everything a paradise. It's not. But I see a longing for an old way, a close association with Christ that we had two, three, four generations ago here. Pat and I, we were watching a film clip, and it showed women from the past and those that were in a position of strength. And it wasn't an easy struggle. And one of them was the wife of Chiang Kai-shek, the leader of the Federalist Nationalist Party in China before it was taken over by the communists. They both rose to power about the same time. And she made a statement during that documentary. She said, "For that which is morally wrong can never be politically correct." We need morality within politics. But the morality has to be within people that are a part of politics. The same way the morality has to be a part of Mike McGee or you, each of us as a member of this body. The morality placed there of a belief in God. But in the Philippines, an official statement from the government, a support of the churches, it's not unheard of. It happens. I've had an armed patrol come into the church while I was preaching and sat down to partake in the sermon. I don't know if I touched them, but I know that they enjoyed the meal we served to everyone afterwards. They were touched on some level, I'm sure, because they weren't disruptive. They didn't make their presence known as they came in and sat down. They listened like everyone else. Brother Jay said, "We can do hard things." About a year and a half ago, not quite two, We, during that course of time, we ended up removing two priests and one teacher because they had drifted away from what they had accepted, what they had covenanted with Christ, and moved forward in the gospel. They had moved from it. And according to our sin and forgiveness, our reaching out to them, attempting to bring them back, we had to remove them from the church. And everyone was down in the dumps about that. But we had done the right thing. And it was hard. But out of that turmoil, not long after, we had a teacher called forth by Jonel Cabriatis. And he's based in Consuelo. And when Gordon and I were over there this last July, we listened to him teach 367 children, the national youth, for about a three-hour period, the Church of Christ, and what it means moving forward. He knew it. And he taught well. After that, we moved through another period of time where in cleaning up the books and chasing after rumors and insinuation, we found how an elder had misused funds. He didn't put them in his pocket, but the funds were set forth to accomplish a task in a mission, and it was brought to the Board of Trustees. They approved it, and it was championed by the priesthood with their authority, and he was told what to do, how to do, when to do it. He took it upon himself within his region. He had another need that had been put on hold by the priesthood. Didn't have the money right then. We'll come back and visit that later. But he had that need to take care of. So he split the funds. And he left a half-finished project that we had totally funded, undone, partially done. And he funded a project that had been put on hold. And so we labored with him. And we're still in the process of that laboring, seeking to reconcile him, not just to the priesthood authority, but back to the Lord Jesus Christ, back to an honest foot forward. And everyone was down in the dumps about that. In coming together to make that deliberation of what to do and follow through, the Lord called forth these names here. Priest Joel Pakatang in Malanao, Priest Michael Bada in Sagamone, Elder Felix Bada in Ilomavis, Priest Jose Manali in Cabalal, Priest Jason Cabriatis in Eden, Priest Renan Biscagan in Consuelo. And this was accomplished in October of this year. And it was not an easy thing laboring with this elder that had taken a step outside the path. And it's still not reconciled completely. But because of seeking the Lord, his determination, adhering to what we're taught in the scriptures and sin and forgiveness, of following those outlines, we evidently did something right because God moved upon and called forth these men. And I looked at how it was spread amongst the seven regions, and it's equitable. It's beautiful the way the Lord accomplished it. So we still have an elder that we're seeking to bring back in full strength. And he's been put on hold for a period of time. And hopefully he'll come back. So, hard choices, if we're willing to make them, the Lord is there. He knows the anguish, the sorrow, the hard fight it is. He knows all this. And he works with those that walk with him, that are in the way, that are within the law. And he continues to invite those that are drifting back to a healing, back to a strengthening, back to a direction towards him and the body of Christ and continued growth. So that's what I want to talk about, is the way and the law. Psalms 119, verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Doesn't say we have to be perfect, but seeking perfection, undefiled by the temptations, and they are there every day, every step. So I put together 10 points that I came to me in praying about it, what was important, and they're not complete. And they're probably not the best effort if I took more time to work on it. And you probably have better ones than I. But it's important to look to the Lord for each step that allows us to draw closer to him. First and foremost is to accept Jesus Christ. Not just to a once saved, always saved attitude, as some churches. But to accept him within what he says in the scripture, what he has placed in our mind, and what he places in our heart. Because the Lord, in dealing with his children, he told Israel, I don't want to write the law, except in your heart. I'm paraphrasing. Don't greet each other with, know the Lord. He wanted them to know the Lord in their heart. So to accept Christ in our hearts, in Romans 10, verse 9 through 11, and I'm going to skim these over. It says to believe. To believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who he says he was. And as he looked out at the temple building that one of his followers marveled over the size and the way they fit together and the scope and the grandeur and the labor that had built that, he said it's going to be torn down. It's nothing to him except hearts that come to know him, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and to claim him with no shame in your heart. To accept the Lord Jesus Christ is to have God on our side. Doesn't mean everything's going to be given to you. Life is hard. We greeted a sister we haven't seen for a while, who we've been praying for, that is fighting cancer. And the medical community is doing good, but your prayers are first and foremost. And her biggest strength is not in the medical field. Her biggest strength is in a belief in God. And she was administered to this day. her faith laid before her God. And you and I joined that congregation as two of our elders prayed over her. What does God do with that faith? He extends his mercy according to our faith. And Christ's promise to each of you that have been baptized is that you have the Holy Ghost within you. It's there at all times. You can turn your back upon it. You can hide from it. But it was given as a promise of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to accept Christ and to believe in him and to follow after means that we're walking in that way and in that life. And it's up to you and I to walk undefiled in this life. Number two, memorize scriptures. That is not one of my strengths. I'm not good at it. But you and I have known some of the gray hairs that lived before we became gray hair that could quote scripture. And they knew it. Memorize scripture. So, what does God say? In Psalm 63, verse 6, he says, in part, to remember him upon your bed. Your quiet time, when you're all by yourself, laying down at night to call upon him. And he's there, and he hears, and he responds. And to meditate upon him in your night watches. When you're all by yourself, a sentry, warning of the enemy, or all by yourself in the night watches, when there could be fear within your heart, God is there. As close as our prayer. In verse 5, it says, my soul shall be satisfied in remembrance and searching for your truth. That's where the peace with God comes from. Number 3, we are to pray unceasingly. Alma 10:28 says to pray for strength and thus be led. We have to be willing to do hard things and to reach out to God for that guidance. Does he give us a detailed list to follow 1 through 10? No. But he gives us the tools in the Bible, the Book of Mormon, within the Holy Ghost that resides within. He doesn't leave us alone. We may pray knowing that he is and be led by him. Romans 12:12, as we call and watch and pray for hope during tribulation and during prayer, we receive help instantly. And we're armored against sin and temptation. There's no foolproof way to say no to temptation. But it can become a habit. It can become a strength. It can become something to share with others. When Brother Alvin was talking about being the light in this world, as you overcome a weakness in Christ, you're able to share with others in this life. And they listen to you, because I know your life has been changed and you're walking after Christ, and he does not leave you alone. Number four, position your choices for success. The Book of Mormon says we're here to make choices. Well, in this life, one after another. But we can position the choices for success. Galatians 6:1 says, in the spirit of meekness, if someone has drifted away, and Brother Alvin was talking about part of our numbers having drifted away, we may reach out and seek to bring them back. Not that Mike McGee or you yourself are strong, but our belief in Christ that heals all and is able to forgive has the strength to draw them back. But we have to do it in meekness, because we could be tempted into something that would draw us away. We should reach out, and it says we shall reap if we faint not. Reaching out, doing God's work to glorify him and to build up the body of Christ, to reach out to those that hunger and thirst and want to change, you and I have that strength to alone. Restoring the overtaken or yourself, if you have an acknowledged weakness, steer clear of the temptation and choose the path that will bring them back, but keep you out of danger, or take a brother with you or a sister with you. The Lord wants us to reach out. Number five, cultivate righteousness and love it. Ephesians 5, verses 8 through 10 says that in the victory over sin, there's a fruit of the Spirit that is born, and we find ourselves in service to God. And so if we're learning to love it as we reach out, a goodness develops within us, and a righteousness and a pursuit of truth, and we begin to marvel ourselves because of who we can become in Christ. Proving to the Lord that right choices and learning are there, and it's there for us to embrace in moving forward. Number six, select friends and value family. We don't have too many youth here tonight. But which is more important, to select friends or to value your family? Ephesians 6, 1 through 3 says, we are to obey our parents and we're to honor them. And the promise is, if we do that, it may be well with thee. And to me, value family or select friends, I place family above. Value the family because that's God's building block. As we move forward, we talked about a brand new mission, 32 brand new members, but it's not the whole work in the Philippines. That brings us up to probably 65 missions now and locals. Collectively, they are the body of work there, the body of work within God's framework is the family. And friends can be selected. Not everyone is a good friend. And we don't know until we've associated with them for a period of time. A chaste appearance, a tactful speech, and a pure life. Number 7. To be chaste, tactful, and pure, the language of the body we have to be aware of. The way we dress, the way we talk. And the only way to keep it pure and undefiled in the way is to measure it against what we believe Christ would choose and do. What would Christ do, say, and where? To be chaste, tactful, and pure, 2 Nephi 12:86, and as many as shall believe in Christ shall also become a delightsome people. It doesn't say rich. It doesn't say full of power. It doesn't say beautiful, but it says delightsome, a wholesomeness within them. Do not flaunt. Honor and glorify God. Find beauty in God's creation and not the world enhancements that can be bought, sold, stolen. Don't worry about it. The way you were created was the way God created you. Number 8, to be humble or full of humility. Humility prepares the natural man for 3 Nephi 5:49, yea, blessed are they who shall believe in your words and come down into the depths of humility and be baptized, for they shall be visited with fire and with the Holy Ghost and shall receive a remission of their sins. Without that humility, you're not properly prepared to receive the gift that Christ offers. Humility prepares the soul and the body and the mind to receive Christ's promise, which is the Holy Ghost. Humbleness is combative. Helaman 2:31. Nevertheless, they did fast and pray oft and did wax stronger and stronger in their humility and firmer in the faith of Christ unto the filling their souls with joy and consolation, yea, even to the purifying and the sanctification of their hearts, which sanctification cometh because of their yielding their hearts unto God. The natural man is combated against by the spirit of humbleness, humility, to become a child of God and to grow in Him. A humble life of strength and firmness fights against division. It's a part of the way and the life. Number 9. Constantly renewed in Christ. Through sacrament. In the Philippines, they refer to it as communion. And that because of 450 years of Spanish influence, to them, it's easier to call it communion. And it's the same as your sacrament. They interchange. And it's in remembrance of Christ, our Savior. To be renewed, Psalms 18, verse 2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God and my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. Psalms 18:3, I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. To be renewed is to make sure that we're sure and impregnable in the Lord. It is a last resort, but it's one that cannot be broken except by you, except by me. We always have that choice within us. Jesus Christ is that horn of strength of our salvation. The constant renewals, Proverbs 4, verse 18. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The path that you and I have chosen in baptism leads towards a shining light in the distance that Christ perceived as he looked at that grand temple that would be no more. He knew that light would grow and grow until he comes back, until it shines on that perfect day. Verse 19, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. And that's a way of darkness. That's the way of the wicked. That's the way of being outside the path of God, outside the way, outside the life, keeping the heart pure and forgiven in Christ. And number 10, the goal in Christ is eternal life. Is that here? No, it's not here. One of our sisters in the Philippines lost a child of about 8 days old. And she's grieving, and she's shedding tears for what could have been. But I wrote her back, and in simple words, reminded her for 8 days, she got to hold that little child, to look at its eyes, to feed it, change a diaper, to care for it. And now that daughter is home. How God reconciles little children to eternal life, he is guaranteed. I don't understand it. I don't have to. But I understand your life and my life must be reconciled to Christ as that little child was prepared for life eternal because Christ called her home. The goal in Christ is eternal life. And we must seek the likeness of Christ, a mirrored image of him. Am I such a person? No. I want to be. Have I achieved it? I'm still in the works, as are you. But the prize is eternal life. The way and the law. Isaiah 40, verse 29. He giveth power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Verse 30. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. You know, 77 years old, I remember back what I used to be capable of. And I can't anymore because of age. But that's the age of a physical body. What we're developing is, according to the way and the law, to build up within our physical bodies the mind and the heart and the soul to prepare for a life eternal. I can be as a young man in simply trying and believing that God can. Jay said, we can do hard things. Verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. But we have to wait upon the Lord. We have to hope in Him, anticipate, trust, and linger in this work that we have entered into, and abide with expectation and hold on to what we hope for, no matter how old we are. 10 things. You can add to that list. Yours is better than mine. But we need to develop a list, a criteria, a strength, a hope, a desire, a motivation to move forward. I don't know how old Alvin Harris is, but he still has that motivation. No matter what age, we need to move forward in Christ. And He has a home for us. And I thank You.